A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words. On Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 2. Prologue. Quote, "A colossal mistake," unquote. Dr. Jerry D. Malman, Ph.D., 1940 to 2012. Director of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory and Professor of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at Princeton. Senior Research Associate at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Pioneer in the use of computational models to examine the interactions between atmospheric chemistry and physics, and one of the first scientists to raise concerns about ozone depletion. Recipient of the Rossby Research Medal of the American Meteorology Society, the U.S. government's Presidential Rank Award of Distinguished Executive, and the Gold Medal of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Here's Mark. One day, toward the end of the last millennium, a young scientist called Michael Mann went to give a talk at the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory, one of America's premier climate research institutions. Among his audience was the lab's director, Dr. Malman, who, upon seeing Mann's latest temperature reconstruction, observed that it looked like a, quote, hockey stick, unquote. A long 900-year shaft of steady, slight cooling, and then a short, sharp blade of rising 20th century temperatures. Almost 70 years earlier, Margaret Herrick of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences had cast an eye on the statuette for the organization's awards night and said, "He looks like my Uncle Oscar." The name stuck. And so it was with Dr. Malman's aside. The stick stuck. It was catchier than the formal title, quote, "Northern Hemisphere Temperatures During the Past Millennium, Inferences, Uncertainties, and Limitations," unquote. And its very name would lead to many more streamlined and thus more stick-like versions of the graph by the World Meteorological Organization and other bodies who should have known better. Dr. Malman was a serious believer in global warming. He scoffed at the Kyoto Protocol because everyone knows, quote, "it would take 40 Kyotos to actually stop the increase," unquote. He told a peer-reviewed journal about Stephen McIntyre and Ross McKittrick, the two Canadians who had the nerve to criticize Mann's science, were mere quacks. And yet, Dr. Malman came to see that the hockey stick he helped loose upon the world had done grievous harm. As the Chronicle of Higher Education reported in 2006 through the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's third assessment, quote, "In the first figure of the summary, the authors chose to highlight only one of the long-term temperature reconstructions, the hockey stick curve from Mr. Mann's group. When Sir John T. Houghton, leader of the IPCC's scientific working group, appeared before the television cameras to unveil his committee's long-awaited report, he had a poster behind him bearing a large image of the hockey stick. For many in the news media and the general public, that graph appeared to be the star witness in the IPCC's case that humans were warming the globe, when in fact that argument actually rested on a mass of other evidence unrelated to the curve. The panel's decision to emphasize the hockey stick so strongly, quote, was a colossal mistake, just as it was a mistake for the climate science writing press to amplify it," unquote, says Mr. Malman, the scientist who named the curve. Quote, "In other words, was that the smoking gun for global warming? It's not the smoking gun. That's the data we've had for the past 150 years, unquote. Mark. Too late. Sir John and the IPCC had decided to take a flyer on Mann's cartoon climatology, and all science could do was hang on and enjoy the ride. Chapter 1. Man is an island. Trust me, I'm a scientist. Quote, "We need to remember what science is. It is not a compilation of facts. Rather, it is a set of processes used to gather relatively reliable information about the world we live in, our societies, and ourselves. It is the formality of these processes that gives science its privilege and validity over other claims to knowledge about our world that can only come from belief, received wisdom, or anecdote. When this formality is broken, whether by unsupported claims, hidden biases, lack of reproducibility, and inadequate peer review, public trust in science is harmed, and its privilege is undermined. Unquote. Professor Sir Peter Gluckman, ONZ, KNZM, FRS, FMEDSCI, FRSNZ. Arthur E. Mills Memorial Oration to the Royal Australasian College of Physicians, May 18, 2014. Peter Gluckman is the Chief Scientific Advisor to the Government of New Zealand and broadly supportive of the general line on, quote-unquote, climate change. His emphasis on the formality of scientific processes is not contentious, and his list of breaches in that formality and their harm to public trust is worth considering with respect to Michael E. Mann and his work. 1. Unsupported claims. In the summary for policymakers of its third assessment review, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change made the single most dramatic assertion in the history of the global warming movement. Quote, the increase in temperature in the 20th century is likely as have been the largest of any century during the past 1,000 years. It is also likely that, in the Northern Hemisphere, the 1990s was the warmest decade and 1998 the warmest year. Unquote. The only evidence offered in support of this statement was Michael Mann's hockey stick. Does it, indeed, support such a claim? Not according to many of the scientists in these pages. The Danish climatologist Bo Christensen examined 9 Mann, quote-unquote, hockey sticks, and said it is almost impossible to conclude from any of them that, quote, the present period is warmer than any period in the reconstructed period, unquote. Professor David LeGates writes that, quote, one can have no confidence in the claim that the 1990s are the warmest decade of the last two millennia, unquote. By then, man had extended his flexi-shaft back another millennium. Almost every other serious reconstruction shows much greater natural climate variability, and the 1990s within the bounds of that. And as Professors McShane and Weiner point out, most of these reconstructions look nothing like hockey sticks. Indeed, it remains an open question whether what his oath purports to divine, a, quote, global temperature, unquote, is in a scientific sense supportable, quote unquote. In the absence of reliable tropical data, says Dr. David Rind, quote, we have no way of knowing how cold or warm the globe actually got, unquote. So unsupported claims? Yes. 2. Hidden biases. Later in this book, Nobel Prize winner Ivar Gaver reminds us that, quote, in pseudoscience, you begin with a hypothesis, which is very appealing to you, and then you only look for things which confirm the hypotheses, unquote. Mann began with a hypothesis that the global temperature record had been pretty stable for 900 years, and then in the 20th century, it soared up and out the roof. And so he looked for, quote, things which confirm the hypothesis, unquote. As Mann put it, quote, one set of tree ring records, unquote, was, quote, of critical importance, unquote, in conjuring his stick. So his hypothesis that it looked like a hockey stick is confirmed only because a tree ring that produces a hockey stick shape is given 390 times the weight of a tree ring that does not. That tells you something about what the temperature was in the 15th century, but a lot about Mann's biases. He chose a statistical method that, as the U.S. National Research Council noted rather primly, quote, tends to bias the shape of the reconstructions, unquote. Furthermore, the scientists who actually collected the tree ring data that man cannibalized insist they're primarily an indicator of CO2 fertilization, not temperature. At the IPCC level, he maintained his bias against anything that contradicted his hypotheses. As Professor John Christie testified in Congress, Mann, quote, misrepresented the temperature record of the past 1,000 years by A, promoting his own result as the best, B, neglecting studies that contradicted his, and C, amputating another's result so as to eliminate conflicting data, unquote. Hidden biases? Yes. 3. Lack of reproducibility. Is man's work reproducible? They gave it a go in Berlin. She came to the conclusion that she cannot reproduce his diagrams, says Professor Ulrich Kubasch. Quote, the real problem in this case, in my view, is that Michael Mann does not disclose his data, unquote. Except for a small trusted coterie, Mann declined for years to release the elements needed to reproduce his stick. In evidence before the House of Commons in London, Professor Daryl Ince noted Mann's refusal to cough up his computer code and said that he would, quote, regard any papers based on the software as null and void, unquote. His stick could be neither proved nor disproved. And as Professor Vincent Cordilat reminded European climatologists, if it's, quote, not falsifiable, it's not science, unquote. Lack of reproducibility? Yep. So 3 strikes, he's out. No, wait. That's another sport entirely. For hockey, you need 4. 4. Inadequate peer review. Quote, the hockey stick is an extraordinary claim which requires extraordinary evidence, unquote, wrote Oxford physicist Jonathan Jones. Nature never asked for any, and when it fell to others to demonstrate the flaws of the stick, the journal declined to share their findings with its readers. Mann and a few close allies controlled the fora that mattered and banished any dissidents. Quote, it's a completely rigged peer review system, unquote, concluded Caltech's Dr. David Rutledge. 4th strike. The unsupported claims, hidden biases, lack of reproducibility, and inadequate peer review of Mann have surely harmed public trust in science. What follows is one scientist and his science by those who know both the work and the man. Quote, today most scientists dismiss the hockey stick, unquote. Dr. Madhav Kandikar, PhD, meteorologist and climatologist, research scientist with Environment Canada for 25 years, editorial board member of the Journal of Natural Hazards and former editor of Climate Research, member of the American Geophysical Union, the Canadian Meteorological and Oceanographic Society, and the American Meteorological Society, former World Meteorological Organization lecturer in meteorology, MSc in statistics from Pune University, PhD in meteorology from Florida State University. Before the hockey stick, climate science was a complicated business, a vast Amazonian river, as Professor Kiminori Ito of Yokohama National University characterized it, with many tributaries, from aerosols and volcanoes to solar variations and land surface modifications. What if all that complexity could be simplified, really simplified, into a, quote, nice, tidy story, unquote, in Professor Keith Briff's words, about, quote, unprecedented warming in 1,000 years, unquote. In 2009, Dr. Kandikar was interviewed by Canada's Frontier Centre for Public Policy. Asked whether Michael E. Mann's hockey stick was a smoking gun that proved the alarmist right, he replied, the hockey stick was a graph constructed by some scientists about 10 years ago. What it was meant to show was that the Earth's temperature from about 1080 till about 1850 remained essentially constant, and then it started to shoot up. Lots of problems have been found out in the graph. The most glaring error in the hockey stick was that it did not show the Little Ice Age, which was significant. It did not show the medieval warm period from the 8th to 12th century, which was also significant. There were errors in the use of the tree ring data, and also other errors. So today, most scientists dismiss the hockey stick. They do not consider the hockey stick graph to be a correct representation of the global mean temperature. Unquote. Can that really be true, that most scientists dismiss the hockey stick? As we shall see in the pages that follow, many scientists from around the world disagree with Mann's science, and sometimes very forcefully. And they include not only deniers, but full-scale alarmists, and all points on the spectrum in between. These people reject not only his science, but his style. The peculiarly vicious yet self-defeating climate war, quote-unquote, mentality so unsuited to a great gray blur of contradictory uncertainties. You can believe in anthropogenic global warming, an impending ice age, solar heating, natural variability, or no big deal whatever happens, and still regret the appalling damage done to climate science by man's total war in service of a piece of cartoon climatology by a one-stick pony. Yet the real question is not whether, quote, most scientists dismiss the hockey stick today, but why more scientists didn't denounce it back then. Too many people who should have known better sat idly by, as an obscure researcher with the ink barely dry on his PhD overturned the accumulated scientific wisdom of centuries, because it was convenient to the political goals of activists, bureaucrats, politicians, and above all, an ambitious new transnational bureaucracy, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Quote, "The whole hockey stick episode reminds me of the motto of Orwell's Ministry of Information," unquote. Professor William Happer, Ph.D., Cyrus Fogg Brackett, Professor of Physics at Princeton University and a member of the U.S. government's Group of Independent Scientific Advisors, JASIN, for whom he pioneered the development of adaptive optics, recipient of the Davison-Germer Prize in Atomic or Surface Physics, the Herbert P. Broida Prize, and a Thomas Alva Edison Patent Award, Fellow of the American Physical Society and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. On February 25, 2009, Professor Happer testified before the U.S. Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee. Quote, "The existence of climate variability in the past has long been an embarrassment to those who claim that all climate change is due to man and that man can control it. When I was a schoolboy, my textbooks on earth science showed a prominent, quote, medieval warm period, unquote, at the time the Vikings settled Greenland, followed by a vicious, quote unquote, little ice age that drove them out. So I was very surprised when I first saw the celebrated, quote unquote, hockey stick curve in the third assessment report of the IPCC. I could hardly believe my eyes. Both the little ice age and the medieval warm period were gone, and the newly revised temperature of the world since the year 1000 had suddenly become absolutely flat until the last 100 years when it shot up like the blade on a hockey stick. The hockey stick was trumpeted around the world as evidence that the end was near. The hockey stick has nothing to do with reality, but was the result of incorrect handling of proxy temperature records and incorrect statistical analysis. There really was a little ice age, and there really was a medieval warm period that was as warm or warmer than today." I bring up the hockey stick as a particularly clear example that the IPCC summaries for policymakers are not dispassionate statements of the facts. The whole hockey stick episode reminds me of the motto of Orwell's Ministry of Information in the novel 1984. Quote, "He who controls the present controls the past. He who controls the past controls the future," unquote. In 2011, Will Happer expanded his thoughts on controlling the past. Quote, "This damnatio memoria of inconvenient facts was simply expunged from the 2001 IPCC report, much as Trotsky and Yezhov were removed from Stalin's photographs by darkroom specialists in the later years of the dictator's reign. There was no explanation of why both the medieval warm period and the little ice age, very clearly shown in the 1990 report, had simply disappeared 11 years later. The IPCC and its worshipful supporters did their best to promote the hockey stick temperature curve. But as John Adams remarked, quote, facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence, unquote. Mark. Maybe not, but the hockey stick certainly took facts and evidence on a wild ride. In order to control the future, the IPCC had to take control of the past, and man's graph was their way to do that. Quote, "The blade of the hockey stick could not be reproduced using either the same techniques as Mann and Jones or other common statistical techniques," unquote. Professor David Arlegates, Ph.D., professor of geography and former director of the Center for Climatic Research at the University of Delaware, former Delaware State climatologist, coordinator of the Delaware Geographic Alliance, and associate director of the Delaware Space Grant Consortium, author of peer-reviewed papers published in the International Journal of Climatology, the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society, and other journals. Mark. After taking control of the past, the shaft of the hockey stick, it was necessary to clarify the present, the blade, with a clear, simple message. This is the hottest year of the hottest decade of the hottest century. Like, forever! Following the publication of his 2004 paper, quote, Estimation and Representation of Long-Term, Less Than 40-Year Trends of Northern Hemisphere Gridded Surface Temperature, A Note of Caution, Dr. Legates writes, quote, Recently, my colleagues and I closely examined the blade of man's latest temperature reconstruction, Geophysical Research Letters, February 2004. According to the IPCC 2001 and many other published sources, the Earth warmed only 0.6 degrees Celsius, 1 degree Fahrenheit, during the 20th century. However, that contrasts sharply with the most recent reconstruction by Mann and Jones, which shows warming over the last century of 0.95 degrees Celsius, 1.5 degree Fahrenheit, a temperature rise more than 50% larger than the IPCC claims. Man's warming estimate has grown substantially over the last couple of years, apparently to accommodate his continuing claim that the 1990s were the warmest decade of the last two millennia. But we found that the blade of the hockey stick could not be reproduced using either the same techniques as Mann and Jones or other common statistical techniques. Since reproducibility is a hallmark of scientific inquiry, and the blade does not represent the observed climate record, it is unreliable. Mark, Dr. Legates notes that the IPCC was now using man's work to claim that 1998 was the warmest year and the 1990s the warmest decade of the last millennium. He continued, quote, But a review of the data shows that these claims are untenable. Man's research is clearly the outlier. Consider that if, one, the amount of uncertainty is doubled, an appropriate representation of the sheath, two, appropriate 20th century increases in observed air temperature are applied, a correct representation of the blade, or three, the period from AD 200 to 1900 correctly reproduces millennial scale variability, a reliable representation of the shaft, then one can have no confidence in the claim that the 1990s are the warmest decade of the last two millennia. The assertions of Mann and his colleagues, and consequently the IPCC, are open to question if even one component of their temperature reconstruction is an error, let alone all three. Unquote. Quote, If you want to claim that you are engaging in science, the programs are in your possession, and you will not release them, then you are not a scientist. Unquote. Professor Daryl Ince, Ph.D., Professor of Computing at the Open University Center for Research in Computing in the United Kingdom, author of peer-reviewed papers published by Empirical Software Engineering and other journals. Here's Mark. Until global warming came along, climate science was a comparatively obscure interdisciplinary backwater, and many other scientists paid it little heed. So it took a while for the scale of the hockey stick's audacity to manifest itself. A single graph by an unknown researcher had entirely overturned the conventional wisdom, and nobody had bothered to check how he did it. In 2010, Professor Ince wrote in The Guardian, quote, One of the key features of science is deniability. If you erect a theory and someone produces evidence that is wrong, then it falls. This is how science works, by openness, by publishing minute details of an experiment, some mathematical equations, or a simulation. By doing this, you embrace deniability. This does not seem to have happened in climate research. Many researchers have refused to release their computer programs, even though they are still in existence and not subject to commercial agreements. An example is Professor Mann's initial refusal to give up the code that was used to construct the 1999 hockey stick model. That demonstrated that human-made global warming is a unique artifact of the last few decades. He did finally release it in 2005. Mark. A few days later, Professor Ince expanded on his remarks about Mann in evidence before the British House of Commons. Quote, The situation is by no means bad across academia. Most academics release code and data. Also, a number of journals, for example, those in the area of economics and econometrics, insist on an author lodging both the data and the programs with the journal before publication. I believe that if you are publishing research articles that use computer programs, if you want to claim that you're engaging in science, the programs are in your possession, and you will not release them, then you are not a scientist. I would also regard any papers based on the software as null and void, unquote. Instead of that, the climate industrial complex doubled down on man and his hockey stick. As Professor Marcel Leroux would write, quote, "The curve by man et al., 1998-1999, miraculous indeed for the IPCC, did away in one fell swoop with the MWP and the LIA. We are certainly no longer moving in the realms of science here," unquote. Quote, "The behavior of Michael Mann is a disgrace to the profession," unquote. Dr. Hendrik Tenix, PhD, former director of research at the Royal Dutch Meteorological Institute and member of the Royal Netherlands Academy of Arts and Science, former professor of aeronautical engineering at Pennsylvania State University, now Michael E. Mann's employer, author of The Simple Science of Flight, From Insects to Jumbo Jets, MIT Press, 1997, and co-author of the classic A First Course in Turbulence, MIT Press, 1972. Here's Mark. "Long before ClimateGate, a few principled scientists had spoken up against man and an IPCC that put all its eggs in his basket. As Dr. Tenix said, quote, "We only understand 10% of the climate issue. That is not enough to wreck the world economy with Kyoto-like measures," unquote. Hank Tenix is one of the most far-sighted men in his field. That's to say, in a famous speech on climate science in 1987, he predicted the limits of our ability to predict. No one familiar with Tenix would have bet the farm on those turn-of-the-century climate models. On February 22, 2005, Dr. Tenix sent the following email to Stephen McIntyre in Toronto, quote, "The IPCC review process is fatally flawed. 2. IPCC willfully ignores the paradigm shift created by the foremost meteorologist of the 20th century, Edward Lorenz. 3. The behavior of Michael Mann is a disgrace to the profession. 4. Hans van Stork and Stephen McIntyre have shown the courage of their convictions," unquote. The names Dr. Tenex mentions may not be known to all. Stephen McIntyre is the Toronto mining engineer who received, as did every Canadian, a pamphlet from the government with a prominent reproduction of Mann's graph. To Ottawa, the hockey stick was the easiest way to sell Canadians on the need for the Kyoto Accord. When Mr. McIntyre saw it, it reminded him of the type of prospectus he'd seen many times in the mining industry, and which often turned out to be too good to be true. And he wondered whether this might also turn out to be too good to be true. And then he put his statistician's hat on and got to work. Hans von Storch, by contrast, is a climate scientist who has long been, quote, convinced that we are facing anthropogenic climate change brought about by the emission of greenhouse gases, unquote, as he told the U.S. Congress in 2006. But among such believers, he was one of the first to be not quite so convinced by man's hockey stick. And Edward Lorenz? Not so long ago, he was all the rage. Lorenz, 1917 to 2008, was dubious of linear statistical models in meteorology and pioneered, quote-unquote, chaos theory. He was the first to use the term butterfly effect. And not just his fellow scientists, but the general public picked it up too. But chaos theory faded quickly in a world in which almost everyone who mattered assumed that governments could restore the climate of the planet to some Edenic ideal if only they were permitted to tax and regulate us enough. And the surest marketing gimmick for that proposition was the antithesis of chaos theory and the butterfly effect: Michael Mann's hockey stick.